Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Every year, TV station marketing executives gather in Las Vegas to meet and mingle with their affiliated networks and syndicators ahead of the new broadcast year. While they are at this event, which we call Station Summit, Promax offers panels and sessions to help these executives move forward in their careers. In this episode, we join Dr. Alan Schnur as he shares his findings on something that's very important for any executive: how to find and hire the best people. Let's tune in to hear what he has to say.
So I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about hiring people, and I'm going to tell you stuff that you already know, and probably along the way, I'm going to tell you stuff that you think is wrong. Just wrong, because it goes against what most people think is what you should be doing in the interview and selection process. I'm here to tell you that everything I'm going to tell you is based on a lot of research, a lot of experience, and it has produced, at least for me and the people I've worked with, great results. You see what you think, okay? So six essentials and the deal breakers, and by the way, if I was ever going to have a rock band, that's the name, okay? So first, I gotta show you this. So even though you're competitors, I hope that this will have value. And I'll tell you why I hope it has value. Because I'm a consumer of television. And it's not just about me. I'm a reasonably good observer of human behavior. Television is essential. I'm a strong believer in the value of television. And right now, maybe more than ever, in our society, we need something that brings us together so that we can talk about the most important issues. You're it. So I'm hoping that this will have some value to you, because I'm hoping you're going to be able to find terrific people who help build on the successes that you've already had. To me, it's really important. It's more important that you do this well than me be able to talk about this well, okay? So anyway, that said, everybody's talking about top talent. And you hear the words top talent all the time. So what's top talent? Well, for me, it's this stuff. An ability, a capacity, an excitement to learn. Kind of in a descending order of importance, a drive to produce outstanding results, somebody who's just internally driven to make things happen, an eagerness to be part of a team. And this would apply to even people who work as sole source providers someplace. They work at home. There's nobody anymore that works only on her or himself. This is about being part of a team. Resourcefulness, flexibility, adaptability. Okay, today we were going to do it this way. No. Now we got to do this. So people who can pull that off and change quickly, essential, especially in the way our society is right now. Engaging people who you'd want to spend time with. Let's not overlook the fact that you ought to like these people. You may not love them. They may not become family or friends, but people who you're willing to and actually look forward to spending time with every day. And this is a really important thing for me that I'll try to explain as we go along, passion. Passion for the business. People who care kind of beyond. I remember my first corporate job after getting a doctorate at Berkeley, I worked at Bank of America. And the first thing I was told by the guy who hired me is, it's steady Eddie, no emotion, keep it to yourself. We're here to, it's a long haul, it's a day-to-day thing. And I thought, this is just wrong. I want to be around people who care, who talk about it, who argue about it, who think that there's something bigger than the job itself. And that's, if the stuff makes sense, those are the kinds of people you'll be able to find. Okay? What's not on the list, if you noticed, nothing here about technical expertise. Nothing about years of experience on the job. Nothing about a traditional career path, especially in television. We'll talk about that in a minute. And no evidence, really, of a commitment to an employer. Lots of times, recruiters will look at somebody's resume and say, you're only there for 2 years. only there for 3 years, only there for 4 years. They didn't get along. It didn't work out. They weren't committed. I don't buy that for a second. Of course, I've had a different job every 5 years until I founded my own firm and I found somebody I could finally work for. But the thing is that it's not about, that doesn't show commitment, okay? It's much more about the who than the what, okay? Now, notice, we're not looking for people who are gonna do brain surgery on anybody. The work you all do it brilliantly, fantastic. Do it miserably, nobody's gonna die, okay? That's why you don't have to have these things necessarily. The other things, though, I think will matter that much more. The other thing that's not on the list is fit. You know, somebody who fits in our team. I'll tell you why I don't think that's a good thing to think about or thing to actually avoid, is that it's overrated, it's limiting, and it's potentially dangerous. You'll end up with other people like you. You'll end up with, if it's me, other white guys, maybe. Other people who like my sense of humor. Of course, that's like three people on Earth. Other people who think like me. I think the core of diversity is having people who think differently. How they look is important, of course, for a lot of important reasons. But thinking differently, that's part of the creative process. And I would always look for people who are different, who have different backgrounds, who bring different experiences, different sensibilities. The only thing that you should be looking for are people who have the same values as you. You know, if you value integrity, find people who have integrity. You value people who work long hours, find people who are willing to do that, which is what you'd end up with this anyway. But in terms of just basic fit, I think it's overrated, and it's something not even to put on the list. Okay? So that's my first, like, contentious point. I hope it's not too contentious. So a couple of things that have shaped my beliefs about people. I'd been in consulting for years and worked with companies of all sizes, large companies, small companies, everybody from Apple to IBM to small family businesses. And my smallest client was a company called and a family called the Robert Mondavi Corporation, the winemaker, Napa Valley, who arguably made California a center in the world for wine. This is Robert Mondavi when he was younger, and I worked directly for him, running the HR function and our joint venture in Chile. And he told me point blank this quote, "Find me people who are passionate, who believe in what we're trying to do. You can't teach passion. We can teach them the wine business. We can teach them how to make great wine. We can teach them anything within the business itself. We can't teach passion. Find me people who are passionate." We're 90% there, which was a different thing for me at the time, but totally true. Another guy, John Wooden. UCLA basketball for years. When they win 4 NCAA championships in a row, they won like 81 games in a row. When it comes to, I did this study years ago of outstanding coaches, and this is one of the things he told me, okay? When it comes to character, do not compromise. You won't be fooling anyone. It's better to play shorthanded. And he said, going on about that, there are 12 scholarships he can give for UCLA basketball. There are 12 seats on the side of the basketball court. He says, if I fill one of them with somebody I'm compromising with, everybody's going to know. It undermines my credibility, and it's going to undermine the team. And everybody's going to know it's better to play shorthanded. So passion and character. Keep those two things in mind. You can't teach character, but you can find it. So, some assumptions, okay? Competition for talent is fierce. It's fierce in your business. It's fierce in most of this country right now. I heard a statistic from the San Francisco Bay Area. Right now, supposedly we have full employment, quote, full employment. That means less than 1% unemployment, where there are tons of jobs and far too few people. tight labor market, few traditional candidates in tech, in television, in marketing, in creative services, in many different parts of the economy. Most people are unwilling to relocate. I don't know if you're finding that, but people just don't want to move like they used to. Traditional television, you know, you move from a small market, mid-sized market to a large market, you move around. People are not willing to do that anymore. Very few people are interested in kind of the standard career path. Television isn't considered to be exciting or sexy. Tell me if you disagree with this. I think it's incredibly sexy, but that doesn't, you know, you're not looking for somebody like me. But people who are coming out of college, who are looking for their first job, their second job, their third job, they're thinking, television? Why television? Pay and perks in television, not comparable at all to what's going on in tech right now. You probably don't offer a free ride on a luxury bus to your location. You probably haven't catered breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You probably don't have a concierge on staff. Well, maybe you do. That's what you're up against for tech, okay? And this is an important thing, the best people, the most talented people have options. And right now they've got plenty of options. So why you? Okay, so that's one assumption. Another assumption, you've got little, if any, time to do this, okay? You probably have little patience for this. It's usually something that an HR department is required to do, or others maybe. But regardless of this, I think it's one of the most important decisions you can possibly make, okay? So don't botch it. And botch it, by the way, is an autocorrect for fuck it up. Okay? PowerPoint, you know. What are you gonna do? Okay? And one other thing, you're not a psychologist. Okay, I'm a psychologist. It gives me an advantage when it comes to this kind of stuff, and you're not a mind reader. But it could help you if you were, certainly if you could read people's minds. So if you follow along, and maybe, or we talk afterward, make you look a lot like a psychologist when it comes to how to pick out the right people. Okay? So let me introduce to you something that I've been developing over the years that has helped me and helped others with the hiring process. Okay? First, a brief interlude. This stuff is hard. I mean, you end up with a pile of resumes. How do you sort through them? And I've helped large companies and small companies, and usually what their concern is the time from the time that the job opens to the time we fill it. That's what they care about. That's the statistic. I'm always thinking, how do you get the right people? How do you get the most incredibly important people there and the most capable? I could give you stories that would curl your hair when it comes to making the bad decision. And here's something I'd really like you to remember. One of the worst kept secrets, if not the worst kept secret in a company, is what? Any guesses? Salary is a second. But salary is, if you think salary is confidential, The worst kept secret, a poor performer. Everybody knows who they are. Okay, so how is it that everybody knows? You could guess. How does that reflect on leadership? Usually the issue among colleagues of that poor performer is, I'm working my tail off, and they're letting this guy stay? What's with that? It undermines credibility, it undermines enthusiasm and effort. It is a killer. And I can show you study after study that we've done and that others have done that have pointed that out, okay? Beware. It could be expensive to make a good hire, but it's nothing compared to a bad hire. Make sense? Okay, with me so far? All right, so what do you look for? Okay, here's some very specific things that I would look for, and each of them has a predictive value, if you will, to when it comes to outstanding people who are going to perform well in an environment. Careful attention to detail. And there's ways to see that in a resume. There's ways to see it in a cover letter. There's ways to see it in email. there's ways to see it. Careful attention to detail. You can't teach it. Something that somebody's going to bring to you. You don't want to have to teach it. Transferable skills. So maybe they're not an editor yet. Maybe they're not a copywriter, but they're a good writer. Maybe they've made home movies as a kid. Maybe they've been using their phones for years to come up with interesting things. Who knows? Transferable skills, really important. An ability to connect in writing and in person. And connect is an important word, that they can explain themselves, that they make sense, that there's maybe an emotional component to it that draws you in, that has you think and has you be interested in more in terms of talking to them. Executive presence doesn't mean that they wear the nicest clothing, doesn't mean that they're older, doesn't mean that they're more serious, but that they're well put together. I'll tell you about that when we get there, but I'll tell you one of the things I always look for in an interview, I always look at shoes. I always look at shoes. They don't have to be the best shoes. They have to be clean. Clean shoes. Well coiffed hair. Not just neat, at least. We'll talk more about that. But that there's a presence, because these are going to be people who, if you hire them, they're going to be seen by other people. And that's really important. An eagerness, an enthusiasm, that they're excited, that they're interested, that there is a little fire or maybe a big fire burning in them. And lastly, a calling. If you can find people who believe that they are being called to this business, that there's something that is drawn, has always been attractive to them, whatever it is, you can find people who believe in this thing that you do, start with them. When in the wine business, people came to us all the time saying that I've always wanted to be in the wine business. And they explained why, and they explained how. They turn, not all, 99%, 95% turn out to be fantastic performers. Fine, because they're willing to do anything. Find people who have a calling, and I'm convinced you can. So those are these are the things that I would look for, and I'll show you how to find them, okay? So the normal process, and the different companies, different organizations have different processes, but let's start at the beginning, okay? So part one, the easy stuff. This is the part, you know, you've put out something that says, we're looking. How are we going to do it? And there's going to be a session after this that's a guy who's terrific. He's going to help you say, here's how you can do that. You know, a little more, say, modern day look, an approach to this. But here's what we would get. We would always get some kind of cover letter, okay? And it might be electronic, it might be actually hard copy, but I always looked for these things. Is it well formatted? I know that sounds trivial, but it's really important that it look good. Think about your business, that it look good, that it be well written. It doesn't have to be Flowery or Faulkner or anybody else, not Shakespeare, but it had to be well written. Verbs had to be conjugated. You know, it had to say something to me. They're talking to me in writing. I got to get it, and I've got to think it was well said. Error-free. I'll tell you right now, if I'm reading a cover letter and there's a typo in it, done, period, over. Same thing with a resume. Typo, done, period, gone. They could be the amazing people. I'm sure they're wonderful people. But attention to detail is my number one thing. Okay, so error-free, demonstrate some original thought. It's not the same cover letter that they wrote to the last 20 people. It's got to be something personal in it. And it's got to show some understanding of the business. They got to show some interest. Okay. If there's emotion in the letter, an added bonus for me. Okay, make sense? And these letters can come in lots of different forms, but that's what I'm looking for, all right? The resume, it's almost the same list. Well formatted, clear and well written, error free, of course, demonstrates some original thought, shows applicability to the job, so it's not the same one that they used for some other job completely. I don't care at all about GPA. what grades they got, that they graduated, that's all I really care about, if graduation is an important thing to you. And I definitely don't care about their hobbies. You know, you see these resumes, I like to ride horseback and play soccer and walk on the beach at sunset. I feel like it's a dating thing or something. I hope they have interests. I don't care what they are at this point. It's not gonna make or break. But if they speak a couple different languages, that could help. All right, but anyway, resume. It's gotta look good. Think about your business, okay? Any email correspondence is sort of the same list, okay? It's gotta be well-written, it's gotta be error-free, it's gotta be timely, professional, and respectful of my position. So if they're sending me this long thing, no, you gotta be able to say something briefly. Get to the point, make it concise, be respectful of me. But say what you want to say. Some understanding of the company. I want them to have done some research so that they say something about us and something about passion. Tell me why you care. Tell me that you do care. All right, make sense so far? Okay, getting personal. So now we're gonna talk, okay? Usually there's a phone screen and maybe you do this, or maybe your HR department does this, or if you're in HR, maybe you're doing this, but there's almost always a phone screen, okay? And this might come before any sort of video interchange online or in person. So what am I looking for? Friendly. Why not? Personable. Expresses oneself well. And by the way, this applies to anyone from any culture. Doesn't mean that they speak English perfectly, but they can express themselves in English. I don't care how thick the accent, I don't care how accurate the English is, but that they can express themselves verbally. That they use language with, there's an engagement, that there's an emotion to it, that it gets me interested, that I'm talking to somebody who I'm hoping I might enjoy. This person ought to help get us there. Okay. Demonstrates some knowledge of where I work, what it is we're looking for, and expresses a deep interest in passion for the industry. Now, by the way, time out for a second. I'm sharing with you the things that I would be looking for if I were hiring people. If you're looking for a job, you ought to think you could apply it that side of that equation too. These are the things that top employers, at least employers that I've worked with, they're looking for these kinds of things now, okay? So passion, all right, that's the phone screen. Then there's almost always some sort of visual, virtual meeting. It might be before we get together in person, but there's definitely, now I'm gonna see the person and they're gonna see me, okay? This is the first time. So what's the first thing I look at? Professional appearance, duh. Of course you're gonna look, and you should. Are they put together? Do the clothes go together? Doesn't have to be an expensive outfit, not like that at all. Is it respectful of the position? Is it respectful of me? Is it professional? Okay. Always. Now they might be wearing shorts from the waist down, but from the chest up, it ought to look like somebody wants this job. Confidence, and you can see that in a lot of different ways. Eye contact, a handshake, and by the way, we could talk later about what a good handshake is. It shouldn't be, you know, a lame hand, you know, a good solid handshake, and manners that suggest a confidence, self-confidence. Now this, it's important to note, this might vary by culture. There are numerous cultures around the world that when they're working in the United States, to make eye contact would be disrespectful. To look directly at the person who is superior to you might be inappropriate. So you have to take some of that into account. But for the most part, it's a sense of confidence. And you can pick that up in a lot of different ways. I always look to see if they have a calm, relaxed, fluid demeanor, that they can talk, that they can joke, that they can tell stories, that they can listen and they can respond. Even if they're really nervous, they still have to be able to perform this way in an interview. And hopefully engaging and enthusiastic. That they're, I don't know if, dare I use this word, fun, interesting, compelling. I want to know more about them. Okay, make sense? You can see all these things. All right, so they've gotten through this part, and now you're going to move to the next stage where you're going to actually talk to them in person. You're going to bring them in. Forget interview. I'd urge you to forget the idea of an interview. Instead, think about a conversation. Think about having a good conversation with somebody. And let me also say, just because I've seen it so many times, do what you can to be present. If you're the interviewer, or you're the conversationalist on the other side of the table, be present. No phone, no computer. I urge you, don't even sit by your desk. Sit someplace else. Respect them just like you want them to respect you. And I'll say this later, but I'll say it right now too. You have a chance to build the brand of your company through these interviews. When we interviewed people at Robert Mondavi, every single candidate was given a bottle of wine when they left. Every single one. And I remember talking to Bob Mondavi about this. We give a bottle of wine away to everybody? And they go, yeah, they might like the wine. They might be a customer, even if we don't give them a job. And you know what? People would go away. And I still run into people from time to time who we didn't give jobs to, but they said, what was amazing was, you gave me a bottle of wine. I don't know if you have swag, but to give somebody something is a really sweet thing to do. They could be your customer. Okay? So anyway, to be present, really important. So you're going to see, I'm only going to ask, this is the interview, here are the questions I would ask. And I ask every time. This is boiled down from all the many, many possibilities. First, tell me about yourself. First, good, open-ended question. It's a blank piece of paper. Let them fill it up a little bit. So you ask that. What do I listen for? This. That they have some sort of succinct overview of their background. If they start at the beginning, I was born in Ohio and I have two sisters, and blah, 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 and they take you through 30, 40 years. Now, tell me the stuff you think is important. And it's not just the corporate stuff. It's not just the business stuff. Tell me the stuff you think is important about you. Let me get to know you quickly. And interesting personal pursuits, you know, stuff that, really? You did that? Okay. A good descriptive, engaging use of language, that they can speak our language, have to be able to do that. If they are from a different country and they are not able to do it quite as fluently, fine. But that they're able to do it is really important. And that there'd be enthusiasm and passion. Tell me about yourself, first. Second, how'd you become interested in, and then you could fill in the blank, creative services, editing, copywriting, whatever the job might be. How'd you become interested in it? Second question. And what are you looking for? Okay. Where did the interest come from? If somebody tells you that I've been doing this since I was in junior high, and they tell you stories about making film or TV or working in their high school class, I'm looking for that. I want those people. I want those people who knew they wanted to be in this business years ago, and they've been working for it ever since. Emotion in describing that interest, that they care about it, that they think it's important, that there's something bigger to it than just the job. Okay? And that so that interest being a calling is really important. So how they talk about this is really important to me. And if indeed you're able to hear that, you'll see that some people can talk about that way and many others can't. Third question, why TV? Assuming it's a TV station. Why TV? Why here? For me, this is a really leading question, very important. So I want to hear about a real interest in television. I want to hear that they know what we're up against. that they have some idea about what we're grappling with in the television industry, my TV station, my company. I want to know that they have done some research to try to figure this out. And there's a lot of ways to do it. They don't have to know the inside. They don't have to know about your P&L or anything like that. But to have some good understanding of your business is really important. And this is an important one for me, this last one, a belief that working in television is important, has purpose. If they're looking for a job, that's one thing. And everybody's looking for a job when they come and talk to you. But that this is bigger. It's more important. There's purpose. There's value. Find those people. Listen for that. Okay, how might you help make us be more successful? Which is why they would be coming and join you anyway, which is an important question. Here are the things to listen for. A confidence that they've got some skills and abilities that can add value. Okay, that they believe that their interest in and ability to work long hours could help you. Okay, that they want to help, that they're enthusiastic about helping, that they're driven to excel. That they want to be part of a team that makes a real difference, and that they have some understanding as to what success looks like for you. If they can say, look, you know, I can help you do XYZ, maybe get more eyeballs to watch the 6 o'clock news, some evidence that they know what they would be getting themselves into. Okay? And you ask this question, there are going to be some people who nail it, and there are going to be a lot of people who don't. After the fourth question, I would get into this phase of it. Let me tell you a little bit about what it's like to work here. This is you talking about your workplace. What happens here? What do we do? How do we do it? What are the days like? Whatever you think are the salient points to share with them. Okay? So provide a clear, objective view. It's important. They need to know what they might be getting themselves into, and then you can ask some questions that'll see if they've been listening. Okay, so after you describe the workplace, so how does that sound? I ask it just like that, so how does that sound to you? What am I listening for? An understanding of what I just explained, some insight to the value that you're trying to provide, okay? An interest in and an excitement maybe, to become part of the team with an emphasis on team and a willingness to do what it takes to make this happen. Make you successful. Make this organization successful. I'd be listening for exactly those things. So if I were to, my last question, actually, second last question, if I were to call your most recent employer, what might that person say about you? Okay. Almost everybody gives references, and you can call the references, but I want to hear how the person talks about the last job. And I want to get a sense as to what the person thinks about his or her, well, performance there. So what do I listen for? A positive but a restrained overview as to that person's work in that other place. I'd listen for some inclusion of, you know, including critical behaviors that are important to me, like effort and attention to detail and working on a team and like that. I always listen to hear if they respected the boss, respected the other company, respected the coworkers. If they begin to bash the other place, not my kind of person. Sorry. I need people who are respectful, who honor, even if it ended badly, honor other people and honor other companies, because you'd want them to do that for you. So those are the things it's an important, really important question. Those are the things I'd be asking, listening for there. And then one last question, you know, do you have any questions of me? Which is kind of a standard interview question. But I listen for different kinds of things. I want some semblance of insight into the business, okay? I'd like them to have demonstrated some knowledge of what we're up against from a competitive standpoint. I'd like to have them express some interest in and understanding of the market and industry trends possibly. And I definitely want to have some semblance, some evidence that they've actually done some research. Okay? That's what I'm looking for there. Okay? If they ask about money, premature. And that's what I would say. If they ask about benefits, premature. They ask to see where they would be working, a little premature. I want to hear these kinds of things. Okay, make sense? Okay. By the way, there's nothing here yet that has real substance about editing or making promotions or filming or any of that. That can come at a different time. Okay, some useless questions, like a white crayon. Okay. And these are really common questions, and I've tried to help other organizations get rid of them. What's your best trait, your worst? Tell me something you don't like about yourself. Oh, come on. These are all trick questions that don't get you anywhere. Describe someone you've worked with whom you had a conflict and how you dealt with it. You know, where do you hope to be in 5 years? And then, of course, you know, the most important question of all is, what's the capital of Kansas? You're in.
But I'm, got
you got the job, it's yours. But are you excited about it? Are you passionate about Topeka?
Love Topeka.
Oh, love Topeka. He's my guy. I owe you the $5. Okay. So these are common questions. I'd stay away from them. All right. Other things that you might consider in terms of the process, involvement of coworkers. I like to include some sort of exercise. These are for finalists, where they come in and you give them a task to do, and in 30 minutes maybe they put together a storyboard and have to present it to somebody. There's no reason not to see these people in action before you hire them. And maybe another meeting just of the finalists, maybe there's an involvement of superiors. You know, we could talk about the whole process, but in terms of finding people who are passionate with character, this is how I would do it. Okay? At the end of this process, I would hope you would be this, a warm thank you, even if you don't think they have a chance in hell of getting a job. Tell them what the timetable is for the next steps and give them the opportunity to contact you if they have any questions. And what they should do is tell you thank you in writing. Okay? Sometimes it's a handwritten thing if they want to do it that way. I just want them to thank me for the time and express some interest and passion for and enthusiasm for the job. Hopefully, it's true. All right, so a few last thoughts. It's what you look for and how you look for it that's so important. You're being interviewed too. Do not overlook that. Part of your job is to help convince other people that you're is the place to work. So how do you do that? We could talk about that offline. There are a number of things. It was more than just giving people a bottle of wine. We did things to make people feel really welcome, which is an important thing. Talent comes in many shapes and sizes. This is my plea for looking inside the person, not at the person. Short, tall, heavy, thin, different genders, different colors. Please, talent comes in many, many forms. Recruiting is a form of marketing. Please, it's really vital to the manner in which your organization is seen in the marketplace. And don't overlook the fact that people talk. And these days, people can talk very effectively because we've got social media. They can tell the world that your place sucks. What you want is, you want people to say, I really wanted to work there, but I couldn't. That's the place to work. That's what you want people to be thinking. And lastly, avoid compromise. Oh my God, the number of times that I've worked with organizations and they said, we just got to fill the job. We got to fill the job. And I would tell them, no, you don't. You got to get the right person, because the wrong person will cost you way too much money and way too much emotion and way too much time. Avoid compromise, especially when it comes to character. You can't teach it. These are the things I think are the most important of them all. Because it's all about character in the end. In the beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day. You can teach everything else. It's about character. It's about finding people who will help make you and your team and your organization successful. You find people with character, everything else is easy. Hey, thank you all. I really appreciate it.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, produced this podcast. Video Helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax has rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.